So given that, in terms of kind of what the baseline is, Tony, from a practical perspective, what's the best way and what are the options about what type of assays to do to gather this data?
You know, for the community practitioner, certainly for a lot of the academic centers, they have their own, platforms and all this, and they're quite expensive platforms. And, the utility of most what you get is minimal, but to be able to get the minimum that would help you make a decision, I personally would encourage, whenever possible, our community colleagues to consider NGS platforms for their patients, if available. I mean, like I said, there's not necessarily a utility to a lot of the background data that comes with it, but it's certainly now that, again, we're seeing an emergence of a lot of the more, or attempts at more targeted therapies in certain subgroups, I think it's important to know what the tumor looks like from day one and be able to map it and identify a path forward for the patient.
So, Alan, if as an alternative to NGS, if you're going to take a more one-off approach, do you just order these individually, or are there any panels? How do you approach it?
Right. So at our institution, we've developed sort of panels for each of the diseases. And they actually do the UCSF 500 in totality, but they only report on the panel of tests that we want, but ultimately can get these other tests. I mean, it's more efficient to do all of the tests, but in fact, it's costly. We're actually somewhat dependent on what state you're in, because the standards for what Medicare will reimburse are a function of regions. But again, the critical thing that we get burned not infrequently is doctors will start therapy with really just a little mini biopsy, and we may not even have the adequate result. And it's not unusual that you go back in to get a test later on, and there's necrosis or the tissue's not viable, and you've lost that opportunity. So that we do think it's incredibly important to start there.
That's really a great point. Tony, what about the issue of liquid biopsies? We asked the docs in the panel about that, and it was a real mixed response. A lot of people were not thinking about liquid biopsies outside of protocol setting, but you seem to be a lot more pro-liquid biopsy.
I am, but with a caveat that I wouldn't recommend it widely. I would recommend it if tissue is not available. And we've done that occasionally with patients where it was very important for us to figure out RAS mutation or BRAF mutations. And, those tests are relatively sensitive. They're not 100%.
So you can do that with liquid biopsies? RAS status?
Yeah, you can see.
BRAF?
You can capture RAS, you can capture BRAF.
You can't do HER2 amplification.
You can capture the RBB.
You can, with liquid biopsies.
Even now, you can do MSI.
They're not as reliable,
sensitive,
sensitive as the actual molecular tests on
at
tissue.
This point.
Yet.
So, I mean, the mantra that you hear from the lung people is if it's positive, believe it. If it's negative, keep going.
Yeah. It's
is
a
that
70,
same thing?
Right? It's a 70-30 rule.
Same model.
It's a 70-30 rule, meaning if there is essentially BRAF mutation detected in circulating free DNA, then you know it's there. If you don't see it, you're not sure. You still want to rely on the biopsy. So the same mantra, we use it primarily in the research setting or in the setting where, tissue is not available and it's important for us to have that answer. I wouldn't recommend it widely at this point of time. I think ultimately, and the hope is ultimately will become the future of how we characterize those alterations. But today I would put it second actually to tissue.